As Hurricane Dorian barreled toward the United States last week, millions of Americans were looking to the federal government for life-saving information. And then President Trump tweeted that the storm would hit Alabama. Just a few minutes later, the National Weather Service in Birmingham, Alabama, tweeted that the storm would not be hitting the state. And what should have been a straightforward clarification turned into a week of confusion. The president held a news conference with a seemingly doctored weather map, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration posted a press release supporting the president's incorrect map. And now the agency's chief scientist is investigating whether or not this response by NOAA violated the agency's policies. Now, the latest, the New York Times reported that Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, threatened to fire top NOAA employees for contradicting the president, even though, again, the president was providing incorrect information about the threat of Hurricane Dorian. The Takeaway spoke with Richard Spinrad, the former chief scientist of NOAA under President Obama, and here's what he told us about what's currently happening at the agency.
This looks to be a pretty serious threat on the scientific integrity of those publicly supported scientists. That oven by itself is problematic. So in sum, what's happening at NOAA right now is reflective of a broader basis of questioning scientific reality and the value of science.
But beyond a case of political infighting, this story tells us a lot about the relationship between the Trump administration and the scientific community and what it means for scientists and climate-specific research going forward. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. For more on this, I'm joined by Michael Oppenheimer, director at the Center for Policy Research on Energy and the Environment at Princeton University. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
And also with us is Michael Halpern, deputy director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Tanzina.
And in a rare turn of events, we have two Michaels on the show today, so I'll be referring to you both by your first and last so no one gets confused, including me. Michael Halpern, let's start with you. What do you make of the reports that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross threatened to fire top NOAA officials over the tweet from the Birmingham office that contradicted President Trump?
Well, it really is remarkable. I mean, science is often a political football. Everyone wants science to be on their side, but what's rare here is people being threatened for giving a weather forecast because the president won't admit that he made a mistake. We need to be able to hear directly from scientists who work for the National Weather Service, who work for NOAA, especially in crisis situations, especially when we need up-to-the-minute, up-to-date information about who's going to be affected and who's most at risk.
And NOAA is, of course, under the Commerce Department. And in your opinion, do you think they've been more politicized than other federal scientific agencies because of that position? I mean, we know the Commerce Department has had its own issues, particularly in regard to the 2020 census, for example.
Well, it tends to be regulatory agencies, agencies that make decisions about companies that have the most politicization of science. And so what we're seeing now is more of this political interference in science when it doesn't fit the message that an administration wants to put forward. So you see at the U.S. Geological Survey, scientists being told that they can't speak to the press. You see them being having their scientific methods limited in how they can use science to understand more about climate change. And at Commerce Department, we've seen the same thing. You know, the National Weather Service doesn't make regulatory decisions, and so you would expect that there would be less political pressure on them. Certainly, the census question is kind of demonstrates a pattern of abuse of science and abuse of information. With regard to the census, we saw that the Commerce Secretary time and time again insisted that they were adding the citizenship question to the census for scientific reasons. That turned out not to be the case. And so hopefully there'll be a very thorough investigation into who was involved in ordering the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to repudiate its own scientists, and there'll be some accountability there.
Michael Oppenheimer, want to bring you in here. Do scientists in federal agencies have any protections from political interference?
It's very difficult. I mean, in theory, there are whistleblower laws, but this is a little bit of a different situation. And so there's a lot of discomfort among the scientific community, those working in government and those working out of government, about what this administration is really up to. This is not the first time that an administration has tried to fudge the facts. The two Bush administrations did it with regard to climate change as well, tried to interfere with scientists testifying before Congress, for instance, change documents that were coming out of the White House that were supposed to have the facts in them. But this is different. This is, for instance, to give an extreme example, as if the Center for Disease Control decided to declare an epidemic in a region because the president wanted to suppress voter turnout. Now, that's not the motivation here, but that's how far it can get. We need to stay way away from that. And right now, the scientific community is very nervous about this administration.
Let's talk about that, because I'm wondering if this has had some sort of a chilling effect, particularly in federal agencies among scientists who are just trying to do their work and publish what's deemed impartial information.
I can tell you anecdotally, I'm on the board of an organization called the Climate Science Legal Defense Fund, which provides legal advice and just help and counsel to scientists who think they're under pressure by the government, for instance. And in this administration, there's been a huge uptake in people coming to the organization and asking for help, asking for legal advice or legal counsel. That's the kind of thing that didn't happen on a grand scale in the previous administration, and it's a direct measure of the discomfort and fear that many scientists have. Science needs to be independent. This administration is trying to get in the middle and muddle the facts.
I want to talk a little bit about how previous administrations have dealt with this in just a second. Michael Halpern, I'm going to bring you back in here because NOAA's acting chief scientist said he's going to investigate the controversy for potential violations of policies. What does that mean? And is this actually going to be an investigation that has any teeth here?
Yeah. So during the Obama administration, a lot of different scientific agencies set up what were called scientific integrity policies that were supposed to guarantee the rights of scientists to be able to speak publicly about their work without being censored and to be able to publish research and the like. And NOAA does have a strong scientific integrity policy, and we'll see what comes of this particular investigation. The challenge is that this extends well beyond NOAA. We know that the Secretary of Commerce was involved, perhaps the White House, and we'll have to. There's no way that a scientist within NOAA is going to be able to determine so far up the food chain who had influence over this process and who should be held accountable. The other challenge here is that these scientific integrity policies are subject to the whims of the administrators, of the people who are at the top. And so scientists who operate under them can only push so far, lest those policies be rescinded, and they don't really have terribly meaningful protections should the decision go against them. I want to get back to the idea of censorship and self-censorship and whether or not scientists are feeling the heat. Certainly, the fact that a legal defense fund exists should tell you what kinds of pressures there are in climate scientists. But the Union of Concerned Scientists did surveys of scientists at a number of federal agencies in 2018, like we've done for the past 15 years, and found significant levels of political influence on and political pressure on the work of scientists and climate scientists in particular. And they poured out their hearts in essay responses to a number of questions. And at the National Park Service, for example, one scientist said that consistent removal of references to climate change have hindered the ability to have honest discussions about the threats associated with climate change to the national park system. We have to be able to have these conversations honestly and openly, and right now that's not happening.
Michael Oppenheimer, you mentioned George Bush's administration. I want to ask you even more broadly, have we seen past presidential administrations who have also used scientific agencies and reports for their own interests? And what I mean by that is, have we seen this kind of interference in the past, which really leads to bad information being relayed to the public?
Well, I think every administration of either party is tempted to do this and have probably done something at some scale, no matter who was president. The difference here is there's a complete lack of respect in this administration for science and the scientific process, and there's a complete lack of respect for those particular agencies agencies, as Michael Halpern said, that is supposed to give us day-to-day data that protects our health and safety, like CDC, like the Weather Bureau. I mean, these are entities which our lives depend on, where we really need to hear the facts. No administration that I know of has gone that far.
Michael Halpern, are there any instances that really stand out to you in George W. Bush's administration or under President Barack Obama's administration that really interfered with the work of federal scientists?
Yeah, I mean, so under the Bush administration, we were able to chronicle a lot of examples of political interference in science. I remember Dick Cheney personally called a biologist to prevent the listing of an endangered species under the Endangered Species Act. So sometimes it goes all the way to the top. Under the Obama administration, we saw the president himself misrepresent science on emergency contraception and the EPA downplay the impact of fracking on drinking water. Certainly it happens in every administration, but we've been able to chronicle more than 100 abuses of science under the Trump administration, which is more than the 8 years under President George W. Bush. And what we're seeing now is it's not just censorship. They're moving entire, when there were economists at the USDA who came out with studies that Sonny Perdue didn't like, his decision was to move the USDA office all the way from Washington, D.C. to Kansas City. And he said at a fundraiser that his desire was to get these scientists to quit. They've ordered the National Academies of Science to stop work on studies on stream health and on offshore oil rig safety. And they've appointed people who are changing the rules to limit the types of science that can be used in making policy and the types of experts that can advise the government on scientific matters from climate change to air pollution to toxic chemicals.
So, Michael Oppenheimer, I want to get your last thought here. What precedent will this latest NOAA scandal set for how we deal with scientific institutions in the future?
The best cure for this, after all, is the light of day. And I think it's terrific that the media are giving a lot of attention to it. What caused the Bush 1 administration to back off from inhibiting the testimony of James Hansen on climate change was the public outcry. What kept them from doing the same thing in the second Bush administration was public outcry. It's that embarrassment that the public does not want the government interfering with the facts that they need. And so the more the media and the public talks about this, the less chance there is it'll happen in the future.
Michael Oppenheimer is the director of the Center for Policy Research on Energy and the Environment at Princeton University. And Michael Halpern is the deputy director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
You.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.